Welcome to the Breaking Up with Burnout podcast. I am your host, Tiffany Leader, clinical social worker and burnout coach, with 14 years of experience in the mental health field and life experience with burnout. I'd like to say I'm in burnout recovery. This podcast is for you who are ready to reclaim your life, cancel hustle culture, and put your well-being first, and discover a joy-filled life. This is your moment to find support, be encouraged, laugh a little, and take a little nugget of wisdom that leads you out of burnout and into joy. I have chosen to not edit this podcast because I want to remove the barrier between you and I so that we can have an authentic connection. So you might hear me say ums, trip over my words, have awkward pauses, but it is for you to experience the real me and not an edited version so that we can authentically have a connection. Okay, take a deep breath, lean in, and open your heart and your mind to what you may need. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Breaking Up with Burnout podcast, and I am so excited to have my guest here today. We have connected on Instagram and have had amazing conversations on the gram together, and I was like, I've got to bring her on the podcast once I decided to start the podcast, and so Catherine, I'm just so excited to have you here. So I'd love for you to just introduce yourself and tell the listeners who you are.
Yes, for sure. So my name's Catherine White. I'm a social worker by day and kind of just went through my own burnout journey after business ownership and, you know, just a whole lot of different things in life that kind of came to a head. And I had my own collapse, and it's been actually a year yesterday that I've been on this like complete undoing journey where, you know, I started just changing everything bit by bit, and I'm a year in, and it's been really, really awesome to like feel like I've got that first year clocked in. So after kind of going through that journey, I was like, I need to share more information because as a social worker like yourself, I'm just naturally curious and always thinking like bigger picture, why is this so common and why is this so normal? So I just really translated all of that to you know, sharing it online, and you know, that's how we met. So I'm really excited to finally be doing this like live. We always do the voice kind of chat back and forth and texting back and forth, but this is really fun. Thank you for having me.
Yes, of course. Yes. And one of our commonalities is that, well, two, we have two commonalities, and that we both have a burnout journey, and that's what we're bringing into the world is burnout prevention and burnout recovery and then social work. And so we just like clicked, our researchers' brains, I think, clicked, and our curiosity is about different things that we've talked about. So where are you at as far as like your social work journey? And tell us a little bit more about what you're doing with that.
Yeah. So I started in 2014. That was my first kind of social work gig after university. I started in community health and mental health, and then I switched over to justice and public safety and did some work in domestic violence program design, which was really an innovative approach that the government was taking, which was really cool. And then I had a baby, took some time off, and opened a business. And I did that for 6 years, which was fantastic. It was like, you know, frontline with the family services. So we were working with the government and delivering services, and we had, you know, 250 employees, and it was across the province. It was wonderful. And you know, life happens. I had another kid in there, and that sort of brought me to my point of burnout. And now throughout that, I was doing my master's in social work. And I'm finishing that up right now in sort of the provincial like area where programs are designed and evaluated and the laws are, you know, made and supporting everyone on the front line with like interpreting policy and law. So that's where I'm at right now. And I'm absolutely loving it. So I'm like 10 years in. I feel like I've had a lot of like a variety, but anyways, it's been amazing. And I feel like I'm at this point now where I'm looking at the big picture daily. And it just so translates so nicely into the burnout stuff too.
Yeah, and I was going to say, I think a lot of the content, even I can get stuck in my own content about the smaller picture of burnout, of like our individual symptoms and sharing and teaching on that. But I think one of the conversations we've had is let's look at the big picture. Let's look at what's happening systems-wise, globally. Let's look at these cultural norms. For women in general, because we both are speaking to women, but let's look at these different things and see like what's actually like what else is going on that's contributing that maybe we're a part of that we aren't aware of.
Absolutely. And I think that's like my social work training really was social justice oriented, which primed me to kind of like question almost everything after that
Yeah.
in this like, it's just a curiosity where I'm like, okay, so this is my experience as an individual. But then I have conversations with people in my life and I'm like, oh, there are like a lot of my friends have had similar experiences, or a lot of my coworkers and colleagues. And then you start to like connect all these dots. And then you go, wait a second. So, I start researching and looking even at like the World Health Organization. And they have a whole section on burnout. And I'm going, okay, this is actually a lot bigger than I realized. All this time, I was telling myself that I just like wasn't strong enough, wasn't organized enough, that this was this like personal failure. And then I'm going, hang on a second, there's way more to this. And maybe I should stop being so hard on myself because so many of us are, experiencing this.
Yeah, no, that is so good. It's like you start questioning, like you said, am I strong enough? Like, what's wrong with me? What am I doing or not doing that's contributing to this? Like, why can't I handle this? And the people around me seemingly are like, oh, it's no big deal. Or we just keep going. But the reality is they're also burning out as well. And so I think in our profession as helpers or in general, helping professions, we have a higher rate of burnout. So, what are some of the things that you have looked at for your own life on, and just wanting to have a conversation, we can kind of toss back and forth of like what helps you stay in your career as a social worker, and how do you prevent burnout in a profession where it is high, where burnout is high?
Yeah, no, that's such a good question. And to be honest with you, I wish that there had been like an elective in our university program specifically for this. And it is like a recommendation from the research that like educational, institutions and regulatory bodies actually start to think about this. But what I've done personally is I switched my mindset from like, this is just my day job to this is my day job. And it's a hard job because I care so much. And it's like any helping profession, I think, like any first responders, second responders, supporters of first and second responders, people who work, with children and families that are in tough spots, people who work as therapists and counselors, and, like the whole, like, breadth of helping professions that are out there, nursing and doctors and occupational therapists, and there's so many, right? That like we almost have to go into it expecting that this job asks more from us than a job that does not like require like empathy or emotional, I don't know, like the whole emotional process of like seeing someone else struggle or have a hard time. So I just kind of switched my mindset in thinking like, no, I've got a job that demands more of me. Therefore, my entire life has to be designed to account for that.
That's so good. I like that shift. I keep sharing this, but I keep hearing it keeps coming back to my mind. I've been listening to a podcast with Bob Goff, and he's an author and speaker whom I absolutely love. And he was like, it's not necessarily like an overall mindset shift, but it is a quarter turn. And that's what I feel like what you explained. It's like if you can just quarter turn your mindset, then it can change everything. And like eventually maybe you'll have an overhaul and everything, but if you can just start with that quarter turn, then And then being able to make choices and decisions based on that and how you show up, I think
Totally.
brings longevity as well. Because talking about education, I do supervision with interns for the
Right.
licensure that I have. And that's like one of my main pillars is burnout prevention. I was like, if you're going to supervise with me, we are
Yeah.
going to talk about burnout prevention. Because if you want to be in this career
Amazing.
for the long haul,
Yes.
then I want to set you up and I want to give you like a reality check. Because we all want to be superheroes, we all want to be superwomen, and we want to like save the day when it comes to our clients and the people that we serve. And I just don't want people to like lose that fire and that
Yeah.
compassion, because like
100%.
right alongside of burnout is compassion fatigue.
Yep.
And it's so easily, it can be easy day in and day out to protect yourself. It's a self-protection mechanism to harden your heart a little bit or to not care as much because it's just another person talking about whatever. That's the mentality that can happen. So,
Yeah, we create distance, right, between the helping role and the person
yes.
that we're helping, but it's almost as like that survival strategy to go, well, like I've got to get through the rest of my day and go out on
Right.
this other, I've got to go help in this other situation, or I've still got to do all my notes and my admin. So we almost have to find a way to create that distance, and
Yeah.
that becomes sort of like a habit over time. And it doesn't help that like the caseloads are absolutely unreasonable in the public's or
Right.
in the like the public sector, I guess. And
Yes. Yeah.
it's very hard to be adequately resourced, and social workers end up again wearing this as like that personal failure, when really like it's we're struggling and we're doing these things to cope, but it's in response to like the way that this was set up, or the way that it's like just never being addressed and just sort of being pushed under the rug as like, well, we're always going to be in this place. We're always going to need social workers. We're always
Yeah.
going to have vacancies. This is just the reality. And I get that if we
Right.
never change
Yeah.
anything, sure, it's going to stay the same. But what if we took that seriously? What if we
Right.
advocated and had, people up at the top who really, wanted to see social workers do well and thrive? And to be honest with you, like, and you've probably researched this too, but one of the most like outstanding things to me in the research that I've seen is that like that higher up investment, it doesn't just trickle down to like your social workers and how long they stay and their retention, but it also improves the outcomes of the citizens in your community.
Yes,
Like it
yes,
actually
yes.
makes quality of life better for your entire community when you invest at the top, right?
Right. Yes, I love that. Yes, and I've seen that research, and I'm always like beating that drum of like, if
Yes.
we can affect leadership, whatever organization you're in, whatever. Because I keep thinking about, I've been doing some training with in the animal welfare shelter workers,
Awesome.
and with that training, I always think of them because I'm always like, okay, if we can impact leadership, and I've talked to them and I've trained some of leadership. If we can impact you, then you can trickle it down, not like you said, not just to the shelter, but to the community as well. And so,
Absolutely.
yes, I love
Yeah.
that so much.
Me too.
Okay, so tell me some non-negotiables that you have in moving forward in burnout prevention for yourself or that you recommend to other people.
Yeah, I have quite a list, to be honest with you. And I feel
Yeah.
like over, I'm not going to go through all of them, but over time, I've actually gotten quite selective, which was not a skill set of mine. I think one of your recent stories that just pulls in so nicely to this was about like high achievers and how we want to do all the things right now, right?
Yes.
And that's been my like maybe my ADHD, maybe just my really giant heart and my like eagerness to learn and help like facilitate change. But I have, like four or five sub areas of the profession that I feel really, really strongly tied to. So I
Yeah.
want to volunteer on this board, and I want to, in addition to my full-time workload, take on this extra task that's going to help the team. And then when I'm at
Yes.
home, I want to volunteer at something for my kids, and all of these different types of things.
Right.
Maybe even having a part-time job where I'm, offering counseling in the community, and all of these different things that pull me that I want to do.
Yes.
So
And
I
it's
think
like the
you go
blessing
ahead.
and the curse of a high achiever.
Yes, and of the passionate, eager, like change maker, right? Of wanting
Yes,
to see
yes.
progress like now and quickly,
Now,
right?
yes.
Yeah. Oh, so I have a few non-negotiables, and some of them, I guess the one that is like internal within me is like shifting the expectations that I have of myself. So I can be a change maker and have an entire career of change making and shifting norms and making a difference. But I guess I've just kind of changed it to, it's not that I'm lowering my expectations, because I don't like, actually, I have lowered my expectations on some things. I have a giant pile of laundry sitting beside me right now. However, career-wise, I've just shifted my expectations to think of that longevity and think maybe I do, 5 to 10 years in this sector. And then maybe I do 5 to 10 years after that in this sector, and allow myself, to look at the long road ahead instead of feeling that urgency to do it all right now. The work isn't gonna go anywhere. So I know. Just
Oh, I
allowing
love that so much. Because that's the beauty, I think, of the social work field. Sorry, I like interrupted you. Did you want to
No,
finish?
you go.
Oh,
I
okay.
yeah, you're good.
It's fun. Still learning this communication on here. I love that because the beauty of the social work field is that we get to have diversity in the passions and the desires that we want to carry out. Like, we don't have to go back for another degree. I was just talking to an intern about this the other day. It's like, we don't have to necessarily go back to another for another degree to go into another area that we're passionate about. Like, our degree covers a multitude of things, and so we get to carry out, like you said, your ideas and your dreams and goals and working in different places and spaces.
Yeah, exactly. And at the end of the day, the purpose is like improving people's lives. So you carry those experiences from one sector to another, and it's all transferable, which is so beautiful. So yeah, I guess my like that's sort of my own internal process of like that first non-negotiable is like each day when I wake up and I feel like I have 10 passions that I want to pursue within that one day, it's just kind of stepping back and going, okay, let's be realistic with this. Because I know what happens if I follow that. And I remind myself of how deep and dark that place of burnout was for me, and reminding myself that like it's not sustainable to focus on all 10 things right now. So I'm gonna look at this in a different way as a vision for my career over time. Anyways, other non-negotiables for me are I really leave my evenings and weekends untouched. I've been really bad at that. And like even as early as high school, I would say I have been an evening filler. I used to volunteer like 20 hours a week with a certain organization. And I don't know, there's probably lots of reasons why, but I have radically protected my evenings and weekends because I'm in this phase of life where I have young children, and I need that to feel like I'm, being the parent that I want to be right now. And maybe over time that will change when they get older, when they move out, and then I'll allow myself to consider evening and weekend work like later on. But for right now, I've just asked myself like, what is realistic for me to feel like I have energy to be the good parent that I want to be for my kids, and then also still have energy for myself at the end of the day, right?
That is so good. I am a huge protector of evening and weekends too. I don't have kids yet. And somebody asked me the other day, or they had a question on social media, and it like spun on a conversation of like being an entrepreneur and working weekends. Like, is that a normal thing? Or are you protective of the weekends? And it was 50-50. Like, the answers that were given, they're like, oh yeah, no, I work on the weekends all the time. It's just what you have to do as an entrepreneur. And I was like, no. I was like, no. I'm like, let me bust that norm. Like, you can be successful as an entrepreneur, as a business owner, or as a social worker, whatever field that you're in, and you don't have to work weekends. And
Totally.
you
And
don't
honestly,
have to work in the evenings.
my burnout really occurred after the business structure that I was in. I wasn't the sole owner, so there were other owners, and other contributors and that sort of thing. And it was just a 24/7 thing. And it just like didn't align with me. Yes. I didn't know I had ADHD at the time either. So I was like fighting against not knowing why I couldn't keep up the way others could. Right. When I walked away from that and kind of moved into a different time in my life, being able to protect that time was really important. And you know what? I remember though, when I was frontline, I worked shift work and I didn't have kids. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I actually found that was better for me. So I think maybe it's not necessarily about everyone needs to protect evenings and weekends, but it's about really getting to know yourself and
what works.
Mm-hmm. what you can effectively output, and then like what that rotation is and schedule is for you on like how much you can output before you need to like, you know, shift gears and focus on input into yourself to rejuvenate and restore. So I think it's just about really getting like familiar with your own needs and then radically protecting that. Right.
Yeah, no, I love that so much. And you talking about like different work styles, because I was going to say some people, they love being on call. They love shift work. They love working overnight shifts. Some people rather work overnight shifts than the day shift. And I too found the last job that I was in that really caused a lot of burnout. Like one of the pieces was that I was on call as the only like mental health person to make the call as far as crisis calls and all. It was me. That was it. And I found very quickly that I could not sustain that. That wasn't something of being all day, being in that environment, and then potentially getting called at midnight, 2 o'clock in the morning to be like, hey, we need you to come in. And I'm like, nope.
Yeah. And that's like not a good expectation to be placed on like one employee, right? There's just, and that's kind of goes back to that organizational piece where it's like, you know, we have to make sacrifices for our team. And I think that there's a time and a place for that when it's short-term
100%.
In nature, right?
Yes.
But like, if that's the only plan moving forward and there's really no action to provide relief or a light at the end of the tunnel, then it's just, it's again, not sustainable and people are going to move on.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Cause I can remember, I don't know. I was trying to think, I might've been on call at some point in time at a different organization that I worked at. But what I remember is that it was a team effort. We had our bosses that they were like, they were the go-to as far as like, they were like, we're more than willing to be on call all the time. That's what we signed up for. But it was very much a team thing. And I was willing to be on call sometimes because I knew that like we were all spread. There's more of us spreading it around than like you said, it's like one person or two people. So
yeah. And that like that team effort makes a huge difference. And having that like healthy team environment where people are willing to kind of trade off with you, it makes a huge difference, right?
It really does. Yep. And feeling like you're supported. Yes. I think that's something else too, that we try to support each other as social workers and in our communities, in our organizations and stuff like that, but sometimes it's like we're moving so fast and furious that it's like we forget each other, or we don't think about like team potlucks, or we don't think about all that stuff because of the demand of the work. But even I always tell clients, and I think in general, it's like taking a step back and doing those different things and making those connections and making sure your relationships amongst each other is shored up and is strong, then it makes the workload just a little bit easier. Because you know that like we're a team and you've like, I've got you, you've got me, and we're going to do this together.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. Something else that has become a non-negotiable for me, and I'm in a bit of a transition from like finishing up my MSW practicum and looking at what's next for me. And something I've created as a non-negotiable that is not within me, but that is sort of at that like, community level and beyond is, I will not accept, and I'm like saying it out loud to you right now as accountability. we're going to follow up on this.
Yes.
I will not accept a contract that does not allow for work from home / flex time, flexible work life options. Like if I work over, you know, I work an evening here to push a project, you know, out on a certain timeline, then having the flexibility to take off that Friday afternoon or whatever else, right? Yes. Like I am intentionally looking for something that fits my life right now. And if that is not offered to me in the coming weeks, I'm going to keep looking. I will not compromise on that. And it feels like, oh, I'm being assertive and I'm really proud of myself, but I'm also like a little terrified, you know?
All at the same time. Yeah, no, I can know that. I know that feeling because it's like we are so well-intentioned in like, no, we're going to advocate for ourselves. And then we find a job and you're like, wow, this I sounds could be really flexible. Great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And well, it's scary to advocate for yourself. Yeah,
it is. And it's, you know, I've been posting on my stories about like advocating for my health and redefining self-care in that way. And it's just like, it is just hard in general of having to come against things that like people don't understand you, or they don't have time to understand you. Or it's that whole, I've been like internally thinking through it. It's like, it's that whole, like, I want to be heard. I want to be heard, seen, and valued. And that's what my clients want. Our clients want too. They want to be 100%. Heard, seen, and valued. And
100%.
It is hard to do that. But I got you. I'm going to keep you accountable for that.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I'm going to make you review a contract before I sign anything.
Yes, I will. I will. Oh, I'll be like, let me see where that flex time
is. Let me see that. Yeah. Goodness. Yeah. But no, it is. It's so important. And I think that self-advocacy comes along with like overall social change, right? Because the more of us that are doing this and the more of us that are not willing to compromise on this, then like eventually employers won't have much of a choice but to hire the people that have boundaries.
Exactly.
And I know that sounds a little dramatic, but it's going to happen over time.
Oh yeah. And I think it's already happening. We're starting to see that shit. You see some companies, not a lot, but like it's starting to make changes where people are offering like unlimited PTO, better health insurance, better work-life balance culture. And I'm just like, yes, you guys got this.
Like, yeah, these are people and not machines. Like, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So good. Oh my gosh. I feel like we could talk forever. So maybe we'll have to do like a part two or a part three, or you'll just be a recurring guest here because
that's great.
We have so much to talk about.
I know. It's so
great. Yeah. So tell us what you got going on as far as resisting burnout. That's kind of your branding when it comes to your business. Yeah. So tell us what you have going on there.
Yeah, it really started out as a journey for me kind of sharing my experience and sharing my thoughts as I made those connections between my individual experience and then that like bigger picture. So that was really cool. It's also this lovely creative outlet because I am sort of an artist underneath it all. And I really enjoy the process of creating and connecting, you know, my like work experiences and personal experiences through that artistic and creative modality. But I am. So for the last year have been mostly just sharing thoughts, sharing a few, like a planner and, you know, a few resources to check on your stress levels and that sort of thing. And just recently have been, working behind the scenes and creating a course called Beyond Burnout, which I'm super excited about. And if I'm being super honest, I've already recorded it like 6 months ago and I tossed it because I'm a perfectionist. And I look back at that and I'm like, no, like I should have at least just kept it and used pieces of it. But anyways, so the struggle is real. It is an ongoing thing that I work on, but I'm doing it differently this time. So it's not just going to be like a, you know, a 60 minute recorded webinar that I'll post, which I think is great. And I probably will do that later for other topics, but for this like first, I don't know, like this first course, I really wanted to center it around the burnt out person, right? Like I have another master's in adult education and we're looking at how to do education differently now to meet the needs of adult learners who have careers and, you know, have like a busy schedule and a busy life and don't, can't just, you know, sit down and chunk out an hour and a half or whatever of their time. So I've basically created Beyond Burnout to be these like 5 minute bite-sized modules or sections that kind of one builds off the other. So it doesn't feel so intimidating to get through 12 modules when you've only got, you know, 5 minute sections or whatever.
Oh, I love that so much, because that's something I've been thinking about too, is like having an hour, you know, 12 hours really. Course, I think of a course that I took, and it's like it was 1 hour, and it was I think it was 12 different modules, and it was just like grueling, but I was committed to it, and that's kind of like I was in it. But I love the bite-sized pieces, because you can take that with you when you're walking, or when you're in the car, or you have a break and you're just wanting, you feel inspired to learn something. It's like, oh, I'll pop that in for 5 minutes and take that in.
Totally. Yeah. You're waiting in the waiting room for an appointment, and you're, you know, a few minutes early if you're an early person. I'm not always, but, and I actually specifically chose a platform that would do mobile learning too. So it's like, it's on a website that automatically kind of transfers everything to the phone setup. So you actually could, like, if you have data or Wi-Fi, you can get through each module, each section, anywhere you are, which I was like, you know, if I am like stretched out and exhausted and I don't have time for an hour, or I don't have like the mental capacity to
get
out, right, then this is just a little less intimidating. So that's one thing that I'm really excited about in the course. I'm also really excited about something else that has been like brewing for me for a really long time, is this concept of like community and collective care. And I feel like online learning is, it's very individualized, because it needs to be, because that's where we're at in our lives, but also this like huge need for that collective support. So I'm adding in a component where what we're going to have this like online community environment where we can ask each other questions, give each other tips, share successes, vent out really tough days. And as people progress through the different modules, that they could go on and be like, you know, I was thinking about in module two when we learned this, and, you know, just have a little bit of discussion to integrate that learning into real life. So it doesn't just feel like you're being talked at, and, you know,
It feels, I love that so much.
Yeah. I'm so excited about it. And like, I don't know, I'm going to learn from everybody else so much too, because that's the thing. We all bring so much to the table that I'm like, I know that this is going to be, you know, a two-way street here. I'm going to be sharing my information, but I'm also going to be getting so much from everybody that is in it.
Yes. Yes, that is so good. I find that so often that, yes, I'm teaching and I might have some things, but I learn so much from the people that I encounter in trainings and clients. And I mean, I feel like I've just learned a lot from you and just the way, what you've shared today. And, I just love that aspect of the work that we do. Is that it is. It's a two-way street. And then I learn just as much as the people I serve learn. And I love that. I love that.
Well, and I find it's like, it's really nice, because when you're on the learning end, you come to a course assuming that you don't have anything to offer, or that you're there to learn because you have a deficiency. But I love courses that make you realize that, like, hang on, that time you told me that you did this, that's huge. And then you share about it, and then other people are inspired. And then you're all sort of like inspiring each other and sharing successes and stories. And it just builds this like collective feeling of like, hey, like, we're in this together. I've got somebody to vent to on a really bad day. And, you know, we're all like trudging through this difficult part of our lives together. And it reduces that like isolation and self-blame that we feel, right?
Yes. Yep. 100%. It's that collective ambition. Like we were talking about earlier, it's like when we feel like supported by each other, then like we feel like we can do it, do the hard things and go through the hard days and know that like I got somebody to help me. Like with module three, it was like, oh, that was hard. Let me talk about it with the group and know that other people are there that say like, you know what, I got you in this.
Yeah, exactly. Or here's what I did in that section, because I, you know, whatever, they kind of go through it and then they're like, oh, that makes sense. Right. So it's just that kind of communal support. So, and I guess the other pieces about the course is just that there's like the intention is for something really tangible to come out of it. So by the end of it, I've built in like one kind of one-on-one between me and the participants to kind of work on their burnout recovery plan and their prevention plan for once they, you know, get to that point. And making that really tangible and like specific to each person's life. So like what obstacles mm-hmm. could you anticipate in, you know, doing this? Mm-hmm. And then what's our backup plan? And then just like providing some encouragement and support that feels, you know, live like this. Like I just, at yes. the beginning of this, like, oh, yeah. it's so good to like be live with you. And right. So just to kind of get yeah. that feel, and connect with people, which is like, obviously what we both really love to do. And, yeah. So I'm excited. I'm like nervous, excited. And I'm just really, kind of plugging away in the background to get everything up and running, and I'm getting pretty close. So I'm pretty excited.
That's awesome. Yay. Yeah. That's so good. Well, I cannot wait till it comes out. You guys know that I'm going to share all the things. So, Catherine, tell the people like where they can find you and where they can keep in touch with you. So when the course does come out, and yeah. you're launching new things, that they can grab a hold of all of that.
Yeah. So you can find me on Instagram. It's at Resisting Burnout, no periods or anything, just at Resisting Burnout. And all of the information about the course is going to be in a highlight. I've started that this morning, actually. And there'll be a link right to the course on in the bio links. But yeah, I'll be sharing consistently about it. The website is www.resistingburnout.ca. If you don't have Instagram, I am like there on Facebook, but not as active. Just I've really gravitated towards Instagram and all of this. But yeah, both platforms are there if you're looking for the links, and you can just go directly to the website as well to find out.
Awesome. Well, I've loved having this conversation with you. And like
it
I said,
felt like
sure
the blink of an eye.
I know. So fast. I was like, where's the time? I've already looked at the clock. I was like, oh gosh. But I know we will have more time together, I'm yes. sure. I look forward to doing that and chatting with you more. So yes. yeah. So good to Thank have you, you here. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, of course. You guys, wasn't that a great episode? I loved my time with Catherine, and I can't wait for you to get to know her more. I love what she's doing in the burnout space, and I love how we can collaborate together. I'm a firm believer that there is a space at the table for everybody in whatever way they can show up. And I am just all about collaboration over competition. I'm just like over it. I'm over like, why do we need to compete? Let's link arms and collaborate and support each other. So that's what Catherine and I have been doing, and it's been an amazing time. Make sure you check out all of her information in the show notes. Follow her, check out her course. By the time this is released, I believe she will have her course released, so make sure you check that out. And thank you. I am always so grateful for you to be here. If you could give me a like, a subscribe, a rate, a share, this is my way of asking you to support me and being able to get this podcast in the hands of other people. And I'm just so grateful for that. So, all right. I will see you next time on Breaking Up with Burnout podcast.